Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whenever you're listening. I want to congratulate you on taking steps towards bettering yourself and being the professional in your field. This is Hunter Boyd on Mortgage Mindset. We are here today with Sherry Rihanna. What's up, Sherry?
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good. It's going good.
It's been a great week for us.
It's been wild. We had our first Fed update of the year and some surprising things, not so much today. We're going to talk about what we heard this week. Also talk about what we think is going to happen over the next 30 and 60 days. Let's kick it off, though. No change, no surprise. So no drop in bond. And I don't think anyone was expecting that. We had a 97% plus chance of no change. And, you know, I think investors got that right, obviously.
Not till March.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Investors are still pricing in a March change and at least a 25 basis point drop. But Jerome Powell actually came out this week and said he doesn't think March is likely. Now, whether that is because, you know, he's trying to save face, or he's trying to look at a little bit more inflationary data, you know, that we'll see that over the next month or so. Sherry, what do you think is, why are we seeing the kind of cat and mouse game for March? I feel like a lot of investors are still pricing it in, but, Jerome's really not giving us much.
Well, welcome to our world.
Yeah.
It's constantly that way. And this time of year, especially when we've got that potential to have a drop, but not have a drop. Look, they don't want to overcommit, but Jerome Powell a couple months ago said, hey, we're going to keep raising rates. And it wasn't, I don't even think, 2 weeks later, and we're dropping rates.
That's exactly
so
right.
I'm not sure Jerome knows what Jerome's doing, but yeah. I could be wrong because I don't have his job. But I think they like to keep the markets guessing. And I think, you know, in that, that's why we feel this turbulent up and down with the rates. You know, it looks like rates are starting to go down. We get a little comfort there, and then they like to come talk, and then it stirs the whole market up.
Yep.
You know, and that affects all of us. I do think there's data he's looking for. And I'll let you talk a little bit more about what he believes good data is. And
that's
then
right.
I'm going to chime into what I believe good data is.
Yep. So we're still seeing inflation too high. You know, it's right now sitting at 3.4%. The Fed has continued to say they want to see it at 2%, and how to get there is they touched on a little bit this week. Is they said they were looking for quote unquote good data, a continuation of good data. And what does that mean? So I think what we're looking for is prices to drop. We're looking for the grocery bill to be eased a little bit. Maybe some rent costs starting to go down, which we have seen over the last 6 months that started to drop. But I think they want that a little bit longer. You know, they really have harped on this 2% inflation or number for a while. And some people don't think it's a realistic expectation or a realistic accomplishment, but, the Fed seems to think so. And they seem to think they can do it without a recession. So, you know, continuing to look for good data, whether it's an ease at the gas pump, groceries, rent, whatever, how long do you think they need to see that for before they will actually consider dropping?
I'm thinking they're going to look for a good, strong 6 months
of
that happening. Gas prices have been going down for a while. I mean, we've noticed it at the tank.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I don't know about you, but I currently have a family of two now because, as y'all well know, Richard and I are empty nesters now. And when we can spend $200 at the grocery store, and I'm not talking about getting a filet mignon, people, I'm talking about getting chicken breast.
Yeah.
And I'm rolling out of there with $200 of just basic food items. I look around and go, how does a family of four make this work for them? You know, you really got to have either mom or daddy whoever happens to be at home raising the children. Or if you're both working, that's fine too. But somebody's got that pencil sharpened.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're not getting to go do anything. And that's hard on a family. You know, the Fed let this inflation rate go way too high.
Yeah.
A lot of the economists were pushing the button way before they had ever done. You know, and it's amazing to me that all of a sudden became their concern when they let inflation get up to 6%. Right.
And I do think that's why they've kind of left good data as slightly ambiguous as well,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't give us an indication on what they were watching before, and they don't want to give us an indication of what they're watching for now, because if they give us, hey, look, we need to see gas prices pre-COVID, or we need to see the cost of the grocery store dropped back to pre-COVID existence or something along those lines, then that is a barometer that we can hold them to. Whereas the Fed doesn't like that kind of barometer because they want to be able to kind of ease and flow a little bit more than the market really is comfortable with. I think, you know, we'll see that in that March, April timeline where expectations are we will start to see a drop. They may hold it for a month longer, 2 months even longer. They've always said, you know, we're going to keep rates higher for longer. So I think we will see that more.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. And then we got this beautiful jobs number this morning.
That is not nice? That is not good data.
Oh, yeah. I was driving in and I was listening to Squawk and I think I almost wrecked my truck.
It's good for America. I mean, truly it is. I mean, we hate to say it, but the jobs report guys came in today. 353,000 new jobs. That is not farming jobs. That is outside of that industry. Mm-hmm. And I think the expectation was like,
180.
Yeah, 180. So almost double the expected new jobs for in January. There was a general surprise across the market at this number. You could see in the 10-year, I mean, the 10-year looked like they were building a wall.
Last time I looked, it was up 14 basis points from yesterday.
Just skyrocketing this morning as I was watching it. And that's because when the Fed says, you know, we are looking for a reflection of this tightening that we put on America, jobs is one of the items that they're looking for. They're looking for a higher unemployment rate. They're looking for less new jobs to show that companies are out there still spending the way they have been.
And normally in January, we see that because of all of the seasonal layoffs that they had from having Christmas sales, you know, and all the little part-time people they add. And so you usually do see that. So this was quite an interesting surprise, I think, for everybody across the board.
Yeah, January is one of the highest months for layoffs of the year. And to see 353,000, man, that just really kind of shook the market. I think over the next week, you're going to see investors maybe start to price in the first cut more into April, more into May. You know, if you were listening to a couple weeks ago, Chris Brazell and I were on, and he was pricing in the first cut at April, I think more May timeline. And a lot of that, I think, is just the Fed also trying to save face. I mean, you got to remember last quarter of last year, they were still talking about potential rate hikes. This month is the first time they've officially said they think they're done raising rates. Up until this point, they have considered another hike in the market. Whether they were really going to or not is, you know, we'll never know. But at least that's what they were telling the market.
But let me talk to you people. This is an election year.
That's right.
So I'm going to put my bet on March. Because if we get it in March, we're going to start feeling the effects coming April, May.
Yeah.
You don't put it on until April or May. We don't feel the effects to come into August. So the housing's not going to look so good
going into
for
primaries
whoever you do or don't like. It's not going to be looking too good. And everybody wants it to look really nice at this point. So just a thought, just my little random head, but it's what I've seen in the past when we have gone through election years. I've always seen if we were going to have a cut, it seems like they would target it around March.
Yeah, I agree with there. I do think election year is going to play a huge part in this this year. Sherry, when you talk about elections and you talk about, you know, who's potentially going to take the helm next or retain the helm, what do you think the market is watching for when they talk about this?
You know, it's just the market was probably looking for, in our world, they always like the Republican side because it's less government, right?
Yeah.
And so the market always kind of likes to lean that way. But then, of course, the Democrats have, you know, also helped us with oversight. You know, when we went through 2008, you know, those guys stepped in and gave a lot of, we got a lot of layering in laws now, but we could have tapped brakes a little bit. But at the same time, we needed that correction because we were yahooing all over the place. So I think, you know, the market itself would love to see a Republican back in the office. It just feels right. We're getting ready to talk about maybe cutting loose conservatorship with Fannie and Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are ready to see that happen, even the investors. And I think a lot of people are keeping that in mind because under Democratic rule, it's likely that we will not see that dissolved until we do get a Republican back in the office.
Well, another thing that I think is big for this year and always seems to line up with election years is the new child tax credit and how, you know, that is putting more money in families' pockets and things like that. Do you think that will have any effect on interest rates, the market? I mean, when you look at the market, you're always looking for when you're looking for an interest rate drop, you're looking for less money in the market, less people spending, less more people holding on to funds and stuff, saving up for those rainy day funds and stuff. Do you think that an increase in child tax credit could encourage the Fed to hold on longer because of this more money in America's pocket?
Absolutely, because there's more money being spent. So without a doubt, that's going to be something to keep in mind.
It reminds me very much of the stimulus checks that we received a few years ago.
Yeah.
Where, you know,
it was like it was raining money.
It was.
When it was COVID, you just go to the mailbox and there's money.
Yep. And, you know, that money comes at a cost. You know, when you have that many, much more people spending, that's going to decrease the expectation for the market of a downturn.
Right.
And that means there's going to be more money in it. There's people going to try and make more money off of it. So really, really a tricky balance there.
Agreed. There's a fine line to walk on whether getting that, you know, approved or not. Well, hey, real quickly, because I'm going to jump into something different here with you today. Talk about trigger leads. You want to talk about them?
Let's do it.
All right. So just to give people insight, when anyone pulls your credit, especially in the mortgage industry, the credit bureaus love to sell your information. And if you've ever noticed, if you've applied for a mortgage, all of a sudden you get 100 calls from 100 different loan companies, and all you can think of is, where did you get my information? You can thank the credit bureaus for that. They're selling your information. Now, there is a new law that is going to be proposed and it's going in front of Congress that would stop that. So we're going to talk about that more over the next week or so. I'm going to give you a lot more details and where to go to sign petitions, because I think we all are kind of over that. It's just overkill. And so just wanted to give you a little insight on that. And yeah, that's my 2 cents worth today.
Thanks for the plug.
And now it's time for Market in a Minute. This is where we give you an update on the conditions of the market each week, no matter the topic of the show. So you're always getting current information each week. This week, we did have an unexpected report from the Federal Reserve that cautioned that inflation could fluctuate unpredictably throughout the year. And what that can do is that can result in a slower than desired decrease in rates from the Fed. You know, if there's a concern that inflation could go back up, they may not be as tempted to drop rates as they once were. I do think that this is just a little bit of reactionary reading from December, where we saw inflation go up from 3.1 in November to 3.4. But it's also not considering that December is a high shopping month. You know, there's going to be a higher rate of temporary employment happening. And so, you know, it's a hard month to gauge a year off of. I think that's what we're dealing here with. I think as we go into January's readings and February's readings, we continue to see a decline month over month. We're going to see the Fed begin to really talk about dropping those rates again significantly. Of course, every time they do talk about it at a Fed level, you're going to see rates react. So, you know, we want to make sure we're monitoring our rates, watching the 10-year bond. We don't want to lock clients in too soon. We also don't want to lock them in too late. This has been A Market in a Minute. Tune in next week for the next episode.
Well, look, this has been Mortgage Mindset. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. We're here to help you be the professional. We want to be here to support you in your career. Tune in every week. Wednesdays, we're here to share a little bit more about the market. We'll talk to you next week.
The Mortgage Mindset podcast is hosted by the Shara Riona team at Clear Mortgage, powered by City First Mortgage Services, LLC. Shara Riona's NMLS ID is 71774. Visit us at thesharerionateam.com for more information about our team. The opinions expressed on this show by the hosts and their guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Clear Mortgage or City First Mortgage Services. Please note that Clear Mortgage is powered by City First Mortgages, LLC, and their NMLS ID is 3117. Clear Mortgage and City First Mortgage Services is not an agency of the federal government and is not acting on behalf of or the direction of HUD FHA. City First Mortgage Services is an equal housing lender. Programs, rates, and terms subject to change without notice. Underwriting terms and conditions apply.